last time I stood here was in August. And oh God, I thank you that I'm here now. I thank my pastor that allowing me to come and to give the word to his people, to my church family. Hallelujah. To my family. So thankful my husband, my two children are here, and guests. So thankful. My father-in-law is here. God is good. New mercies. New mercies. New mercies. New mercies, he says. There's new mercies for his church. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep moving.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for bringing us to this time. Father, you've given me a word. Father God, you seasoned it with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you now, Lord God, that I have the opportunity to share what you've given me. Father, as I share, sit Jackie down, Lord. Raise up a standard of the Holy Spirit that the words that I speak are the words that you've seasoned for this time. Father, now that you be glorified, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are my strength. You are my redeemer. And in all that I rejoice and I am glad. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The scripture for today comes from Acts. The fourth chapter, the 29th through the 31st verse. In the New Testament. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. I'll give you a little time, because it took me some time to get here. And I just thank God. I just thank God. Are you praying with me, church?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Coming from Acts, the fourth chapter, the 29th through the 31st verse. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And they spake the word of God with boldness. For a topic, the Lord has given me the confidence in knowing. The confidence in knowing. Throughout the Bible, there are examples of men inspired by God and have confidence in God. Both Old and New Testaments give witness to why we as believers believe, have our confidence in our God. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. On January the 20th, a new leader was placed over this nation. A new leader that's bringing new ideas, a new leader that's upsetting the atmosphere. A new leader that we will not probably ever be able to understand, but a new leader, a new king over the nation. And we're seeing people struggle with decisions. We're seeing people hurt by decisions. We're seeing people just come out of character, and there's a clamoring in the streets, and there's chaos, and there's upset. But glory to God, he still reigns.
Yes.
No matter who's in the White House,
yes,
in the Black House, in any house, Jesus,
yes,
our Lord and Savior, still reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No matter the situation, as a people of God, we must rise to the occasion to be bold witnesses and not let our testimony be stifled by the activity in the natural. We must not shrink back. It's time to be ambassadors of light to a dying world, where hate and confusion and darkness in high places are taking its toll on God's people, the saved and the unsaved. Yes, even the saved have challenges too. I think that's why the Lord gave me the story of the crippled man at the gates of the temple of beautiful. And Peter, his servant, to talk about this morning. But before I share more, I must start with sharing the story found in Acts, chapters 3 and 4. And so if you have some time this week, I really encourage you to just reread those two chapters, because it will bless you. Because it really made my heart leap when I began to think about where we are in our own walk, where we need to be in terms of the times that we are seeing right now. If we do not have a confidence in knowing, if we are not girded in a way that we can begin to speak against those things that we know are not right and be able to just tap into who we know to be true, the word that he's given us, the life that he's shared, the love that he has for us. If we can't share that in a dying world, a chaotic system, then who are we? Will our light so shine, or will we place it under a bushel where no one can see it? In Acts 3, there is a young man. It says, born from his mother's womb, all his life he's been crippled. All his life, 40 years of his life, he's been carried. And now one day, somebody decides that day that I'm going to help this man out. But no, this man has been carried to the gate of the temple. You're going to say that's the church. He's been carried right there, asking for alms, asking somebody to put something in my cup. Put something in my cup that I might be able to go the next day. Put something in my cup that might have a little bit more meaning, called alms, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's passing by, and he's been doing this for a long time. But along comes two young men on fire for God. That's called Peter, and that's called John. And here he is saying, alms, can you give something to the crippled man today? I got a feeling he's got his own little script all settled about how he wants to get his money by now. Because if you've ever seen anyone that's out there asking for help, they got their own script about how they want to get some help. So I imagine here comes John and here comes Peter. And then, you know, Peter's always been bold. He's going to stay bold because he's just like that. He's always been that way. And so Peter's like, look at me, man. You think I got any money? Look at me, man. Do you think anything, I can give you anything? But I can't give you any silver. I can't give you any gold. But what I do have, what I do have, I can give you freely. And he says, I can give you through what I know to be true. Yes. Through the man that was crucified. The man that the folks on high said could not do anything or spread the gospel or the news that he had. Because it's going to tear up or mess up the system that we've created in terms of how we want things to run. But I can give you this. And he reaches down and he said, stand up and walk. And the ankles begin to straighten up. Yeah. And the feet begin to stand flat. And this man goes crazy.
Yeah.
And where does he run? He runs into the church. Guess what? Guess what happened to me? These men out here, you know what they've done for me? I can walk. And everybody is astonished because they're like, oh no, you know, it's one thing to give a testimony and you not really know the story. But everybody knew this story. Everybody has seen this man for years and years placed at the entrance of the temple called Beautiful. They knew that for 40 years this man had been crippled, and now he's up jumping around and just shaking his feet and trying to hang on John and trying to hang on Peter because he wants some more of this. He's praising their God because, see, all the other gods that the other folks had been dishing out had not done this. Mm-hmm. Had not done that at all. So now, because he's disturbed the atmosphere with his truth, his testimony, you got the Sanhedrin saying, what are we going to do with these two men on fire? How shall we treat them? So they just take them and they put them away for a while. But then they realize, look at all the people that's believing on what they're doing. We might just have to just let them go. But Peter's still running his mouth. Peter is still not taking back or sitting down. He's still letting them know, you know how I got this? It wasn't by my hands, I want you to know. It was by the power through me that I was able to touch this man, and now he walk. I had nothing to do with it. It was Jesus all the time operating through me.
Yes.
I'm just an instrument. Uh-huh. But the power through this, yes, the charge that came, the energy is through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's promised through his Father, who's now sitting on the right hand side. And to God be the glory. He's still up there praying for us and interceding. It's because of Jesus. So now we come to the time when the folks, the elders, the Sanhedrin, they just don't know what to do with him. So they let him go because they know the truth. They've seen the witness here, jumping and shouting and so excited. But Peter and John, they said, we got to go home to our company. Don't you know sometimes when you've been around some folks, see, they went to worship at this church. But they knew that whatever was in this house wasn't really right. So the Bible says they had to go to their company. That means their folks. That means their posse, I guess. Maybe it's their group of believers. Maybe it's that remnant that truly believes the way they believe, that are on one accord and doing. Because in Acts it talks about them being on one accord. So when it goes to them, they're like, ooh, truly. Truly, you've been up against something. Let us pray. And that's why today, the scripture that I've read to you is almost prayerful. Because they begin to say, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. The threatenings are not only then, the threatenings are also now. And if we're not girded, if we're not bold, if we don't know that we know that we know, we're going to be shaken. We're going to be shifting. We're going to be looking really, really sad. Because we're going to be wiping our faces and trying to figure out what's going on. Because the news is going to keep being news. And people are going to keep doing what they're doing. But the good news has to be right here.
Yes.
Right here. Because our anchor holds on a solid rock. And that's the anchor that we have to depend on. So let me go a little further. Since the Lord has reminded me to make it plain, I went to Webster so y'all would know what confidence is defined as. It says an assurance, a self-possession, a manner marked by easy coolness. I can see Peter now. Do I look like I got any money, man? You see how I'm dressed? Am I dressed like them folks in the house? No. But what I do have is riches that will last for an eternity. And then it says, not only is it marked by an easy coolness, but it's by a freedom from uncertainty.
Yes.
That's the big one. That's the one. Hold on to that one. A freedom from uncertainty. Because, you know, as athletes, and I've met those physicians, you know, no matter what they do, you know, it's going to be all right because, you know, I'm trained and I got all the skills and y'all just know, without a doubt, it's going to be all right. But that's in the physical when you come and oftentimes they can make decisions that are so off base. And so we say, well, no matter what happened, I'm going to have to trust God. No matter what man may say, I'm going to have to just trust God. And so then we flip to that spiritual confidence. When I think about the beginning of February and how we began to recognize those leaders in February for the Black you know, History Month. They're going to give us 1 month. We've been active all 12, all right? But when they do that, I'm thinking about Martin Luther King and how certain he was that he knew that he knew that he knew that no matter where he goes, God is with him. And he made those decisions and he talked his talk with a coolness and a boldness. And so I thank him for that. So as we return to the scripture, the Lord asked me to just really talk about the crippled man and Peter. So as I talk about the crippled man at the gate, I will refresh your mind and say, yes, he was crippled from birth. For 40 years of his life now, he's been carried and carried back and forth to the temple. He sits with his cup to receive his alms, waiting for a handout day in, day out. One, he's crippled physically. His inability to stand and walk, lacking strength in his feet and ankle bones. Two, he's crippled mentally. The state he was in was all that he knew. He did not have the brain with to even think that his situation would change. And lastly, he was crippled spiritually. He had not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had not been reborn. But his changing heart, his life-changing experience was about to happen. He was about to come. He was about to have a come to Jesus moment facilitated by Peter. But now you know Peter. Peter was right on the team. There's lots of Bible stories about him. But let's talk about Peter before his real, all caps, R-E-A-L, before his real come to Jesus moment. Peter walked with Jesus, heard and preached, witnessed miracles, but became physically crippled by his environment. The threats of death. Remember, he was the one that said, "We have come to believe that you are the Christ, Son of the living God." But then Peter was mentally crippled by isolation, by doubt, feelings of abandonment, just knowing Jesus was going to leave him. The physical part, just seeing the man, being around the man. But yet did he know there was a greater power coming. But Jesus knew him and said, "Satan desires to sift you like wheat. But when you have come to yourself, strengthen your brothers." So then I see him now, though shaken, he was spiritually crippled by the test of that faith. Not yet fully rooted in the power of God through his Son, even though he had heard, even though he had learned a lot, even though he'd been to the temples, sat under the learnings and everything, what he knew to be true had not really taken hold in him. It had not had really rooted, and then the manifestation of the rooting had not been manifested in power. But now we talk about a Peter that has come to the realization, the moment, the now moment, that he is on fire. And now Peter knows Jesus. He knows, and he's humble just by his own personal experience and his own flaws. Sometimes, church, it's our personal flaws that we deal with, that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, that we begin to learn where we need to shape up or ship out. We need to learn to take notice of those things so that we can be a better person, a better representative of who Christ wants us to be in this dying world. So Peter has the confidence in God, and then he produces the boldness. So I say, what were the products? What were the products of Peter's boldness? So here's where we as people of God can even take note. I said, one, with this new boldness that he had a new identity physically and mentally. He was a new creature and he was armed with the Holy Spirit. Peter saw himself as one with Christ. When you see yourself as one, you know, they said we are joint heirs. When you really feel like, if you really feel who you are, doesn't that kind of puff your chest up? You know, if you come from a family, you know, you're proud of your family. Oh, I'm a tater.
You know, you come from your family, oh, I'm a Burke. You come from your family, oh, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I'm a Chavis. I'm a Woods. Talk to me. Who am I? Who am I? Who do we cry out and say who we are? We puff our chests up. But that's, Peter's like, but can you imagine? Can you puff up your chest right now and know that you are a child of the living God? Mm-hmm. See, that's something to puff up about. Yeah. That's something to stand and say, it's all right. But now he comes, having that physical and that mental identity in check. He experiences what I call spiritual autonomy. He says, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I think about, you know, the one of the movies, but I won't go into that. But it's like he's saying that I can do this by the grace. He has an attitude that I can really do this for Christ. I can be his instrument. So spiritually, he is representing spiritual authority before this crippled man, before the elite religious figures of his time, and with all people. So it's with this level of confidence, what I call really faith, Peter has the ability to do greater works. And so I'm reminded of John 14 and 12, where it says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you and you and you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, what did he say? That will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And Peter had that down pat. It ain't about me. What I'm doing to glorify my God. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Yes. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Like the crippled man at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, both men had a holy encounter that changed their lives. Mm-hmm. Peter and the crippled man had a changing life moment. Today we see the same crippling spirit operating in the saved and the unsaved. Many are sitting outside the temple, in the temple called church, asking for alms, mm-hmm. needing alms. So what is alms defined as? Money or goods given as charity to poor or needy. But you know, church, I'm not talking about the alms of money. I'm not talking about the alms of personal goods. I'm talking about the unsaved need alms of salvation, sharing the gospel in truth. Like Peter, we need to hear someone saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Yes. Mm-hmm. Get rid of your crippling lifestyle and walk into a new life. Be a creation. Experience a heart-changing moment that will last for an eternity. Throw away your cup. You have a Father that promised to meet every need according to your riches and glory.
Yes.
Now we as saved folks, have a cup too. It's called church life. You need a church checkup if you've sat on the word and there's been no change, which is what it said in Jeremiah 23. Because if you said on the word and you heard the word, that'd been a change. God's word is life-changing. So what are our alms? I'm in the bag too. I mean, I'm right in here with you, you know? Pastor preached a good sermon. That was a good one. Hold on, I got to get this. Y'all got to get this. This is what God gave me. Y'all got to get this. You ready? Preacher preached a good sermon. The choir sang me happy. Mrs. So-and-so didn't get on my nerves this Sunday.
I made it to church every Sunday this month. I'm doing good. How can we build confidence in knowing and share good news boldly if we're not fit for duty? Mm-hmm. When in the church, saved, we are also experiencing the same feelings and failings, the same and failing the same tests as the unsaved. Mm-hmm. How are we looking to the unsaved, the young saved, and the babes of our church? Throw away your cup, church. If it's not the cup that's running over with blessings, you're not able to find joy in the midst of a chaotic world. We need a little more Jesus. There is confidence in knowing, and you will be energized and prepared to share the good news of the gospel. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Grace, grace, a little more grace. Learn of his ways, his love, his message. The more you know, the more you will know confidently. The good news is that we must believe that that there will be no lack in the spiritual sense and in the natural sense. And if we lack anything, the Lord says he will supply all of our needs. God does not lie, and his word is true. Learn now. Continue to practice more. To rebuke and pray against every crippling thought or act that would hinder your spiritual boldness, your faith. Build confidence. In Isaiah 41 and 10, God tells his people, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." That means don't be worried, disappointed, upset, disillusioned, shocked, discouraged, surprised. For I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes. Is that not a promise to jump up and leap about? Yes. Brothers and sisters, when anything tries to cripple and shake what is true according to the word of God, be bold in your faith. Like Peter, be bold in what you speak. One, knowing we have a birthright that no man or devil in hell can take from us. Hallelujah. Knowing our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There is nothing crafted on this earth that God does not have power over. When they talk about, and if the enemy rushes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. God said, I made the standard. I made it all. Whatever's been crafted, I know all about it. So when it comes in, just know that I'm able and equipped to do what? He can do it. There is nothing too hard for God. Jesus sealed it and the Holy Spirit confirms it. And I love Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. And I'm just going to, instead of saying I'm going to say we. We love the Lord because he hath heard our voice and our supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear to us. Therefore will we call upon him as long as we live. Do you hear him calling? Have you been calling him? Do you know the number? Do you use it? In October, the Lord gave me this message, and I mulled it over, and I mulled it over, and I was so excited about knowing and confidence, because see, I had just had surgery in August, and here I was in October, and you know, to me, you know, even though you know there's a healing process, you want a quick fix. We always want the microwave popcorn thing, you know, I don't want to keep going through this therapy, I just, give me the quick fix. So I was starting to feel some isolation. I was like, am I ever going to walk right, Lord? I mean, what's going on here, Lord? And now I'm at home, and I'm in this house by myself. People going to work, down the hill, gone. And here I am in this house. Let me put the alarm on, because I don't know who might try to break in. Oh, Lord, on the news, it's getting crazy, folks. It's killing folks. It's in Durham. It's in Raleigh. It's in the nation. Lord, what are we going to do? I'm like, I'm getting out of breath just thinking about all this. And then something came upon me and said, who are you?
who are you? Am I not the same God?
Yes.
The same God that brought you through a cardiac cath? Am I not the same God that brought you through surgery? Am I not the same God that's healing your body? Am I not the same God that allowed you to travel and then come home? Am I not the same God that through circumstances unknown and you wake up and then you hear something? Am I not the same God? Where's your confidence? Where's your faith, Jackie? Church, it is faith time. It's confidence time. It's a time to be bold. It's a time to look to the heavens from which cometh our help, knowing our help cometh from the Lord. God is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Let's be happy that we are his people. Let us no longer be crippled by thoughts. Let's no longer look for simple alms. But let's look to the Holy Spirit to keep us and remind us of who we are in him. Let the Lord be blessed. Let his people be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.